right, Matthew 24, we start with 21. Let's read 21, 22, and 23 together. Matthew 24, 21, 22, and 23. Begin at 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, and this time, nor yet, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, for the day shall be short. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. So verse 21 sets the stage of the great tribulation. Where in scripture do we read about that? And how long will that last?
7 years.
7 years.
Got it. Revelation.
That's Revelation. Also,
in the book of Daniel.
Look at Daniel. Daniel's 70th week. He says 7 weeks of 7 years each. 70 times 7 would be 409 years. And so, this great tribulation, just the not beginning of the world, what will happen to the saved born again Christians today?
They'll be raptured.
They'll be out of here, raptured, taken home to glory. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Do all people agree with us on that?
No.
What are some of the other views that they have?
Some people don't believe there's any rapture at all.
That some people don't believe there's any rapture, nor any tribulation or anything else? What else?
Mid-tribulation.
What does that mean?
At 3.5 years, there will be a rapture.
The Christians will be taken on 3.5 years. What's another view that they have?
Pre-wrath.
What would that mean?
I guess it's similar to
mid-tribulation,
but I forget.
Yes. At a certain point after the mid-tribulation, when the wrath comes down from God, a little bit after the mid-tribulation, what's another view?
Partial
rapture, what's that mean?
Only people walking with the Lord.
Only people walking with the Lord will be taken, the rest of them stay right here. What's another view?
Post-tribulation
rapture, what's that mean?
After the tribulation.
After the whole tribulation, the whole Christian believers will go right straight through that whole tribulation, then we'll be taken back home. So, that's the view, different views. Then in verse 22, except those days should be shortened. What days does he mean? Talking to his disciples.
Tribulation
days, all right? There should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake. In this case, what do the elect mean here?
The Jewish people.
The Jewish, but they're still Jews?
There are some Jews who are saved.
All right. But
the believers.
They've had to return.
Are they believers? Believers. Let's get this call and we'll go from there. Hello, Randy, how are you?
Well, okay, Pastor Wade. How are you doing?
Okay.
I don't know, were you expecting me to sing this week?
I didn't know whether you'd be able to make it, but so I asked Charles to sing instead because I wasn't sure, see. But when you come back, you see, the following week you won't be able to come. Is that right? You work the following week?
Well, the way things are, they fired somebody, as I was saying, yeah. And there's only one maintenance guy.
Okay. Well, let me call you back after the Bible study here. We're in the Bible study now tonight, so let me call you back a little bit later, okay?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to let you know I'm on call anyway.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks very much. God bless.
Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Randy was going to sing this next week, but then he told me he wasn't sure, so I got Charles hooked up. I asked Charles last week if he could substitute for Randy, but it was too fast, too quick. He needed a little more time. So I said, all right, how about the following week? So we'll have Charles, because it was indefinite. Because Randy said there's seven people, there's around four, a lot of people are fired, so he may not be able to beat it. So that's why we ended up. So except these days, electric, those that are saved, those that are born again, I believe that's referring there to many times that's what it means, those that are saved and born again, they chose the Lord Jesus as their Savior and he chose them. The days will be shortened. Now we're not sure whether that'll be more than less than 7 full years or the days of the actual 24-hour days.
This, for the elect's sake, for the nation of Israel, has been prophesied from the Old Testament prophets. And we're well aware that the nation of Israel will never pass away. Now, if the tribulation period kept on going the way it's supposed to go, and so many people in the whole world will be killed, if those days were not shortened, all Israel would be killed.
Yes.
And that's not according to prophecy. Israel will last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's given to us and many times in the prophets that there will always be the nation of Israel. And of course they go through their various phases of belief and unbelief and so forth. But as a people,
yes,
they will be people. And if the tribulation were allowed to go on and on and on, they would be completely annihilated.
Yes, that's true. So there will be always Jewish state and Jewish... Someone asked me the other week when it says this nation shall not be, or this generation shall not pass until the Lord return. And they asked, what's that generation? Well, the word is genos, and that means that the race of people,
mm-hmm,
the generation of people, the Jews, will last until the end. And that's what I told them. It wasn't just that generation in the Lord's day, they were going to be there till he came, but that race of people persists, Yvonne.
So you're saying that's because of 7 years of tribulation, the 3 years of peace or whatever, the 3 years of war, the war could actually, the bad part could be shortened?
Possibly a little shortened. Who knows exactly how.
I never heard that before.
Well, there's a possibility. So
I remember.
That's about the only explanation I can see. It could be some people have felt that the 24-hour days would be not as long as the regular days, but I know the sun will be darkened, the moon, so it could be different in that way. But there will be a shortened, as Dick mentioned, the Israelites will persist. Then in verse 24, what's going to happen during the tribulation period?
Verse 23 first.
What's going to happen during that tribulation period? What's the question? What is it?
People are going to say Christ is here.
That's right. What do the Muslims say about, who are they looking for?
The Mahdi.
What is it?
The Mahdi.
Hamadi. See, so to them, that's like Christ, isn't it? That's like Christ. He's the one that's going to save them, Israel, the Mohammedan people, Muslim people, and other people. The Gnostics, for instance, the Gnostic, we're having a whole book on trying to revise that book on the Gnostic religions, and in there it's very clear that they teach that every person can become Christ. Every person can become God, and deity. Horrible, see? So these type of people are going to be rampant in that time especially. And there's some people on the television set. Remember those people we announced recently? They say we can become Christ, become God. We can be, Christians can become God. So this is a terrible false Christ. What did the Lord say if there are people that come and say they're Christ? What are we to do about that in verse 23? Don't believe it. Just don't have any confidence in them. And so we've got to be very careful. And then in verse 24, we see we read 21. Let's read 24, 25, and 26. Yes. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. For wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe not. All right, verse 24. What's the Lord predict is going to happen at that time?
False Christ.
What would a false Christ be?
The Antichrist.
What about the Antichrist and those that are claiming to be Christ, but they're not true, they're false, pseudo Christ, and false prophets? What would that mean?
They're going to happen, but they don't.
All right, they prophesy, and they're false prophets even today, even before the tribulation.
Yes.
They're not false prophets. And then what shall these false prophets show in verse 24?
Great signs.
You wonder, the miracles. Do we have people today that are allegedly showing great signs and wonders?
Charismatics, Pentecostals,
all over the world. Yeah,
that's the work of Satan. Satan can do signs and wonders as well as God.
That's right.
And I'm probably the only one in the room that remembers, but back in the 30s, we had a character in Philadelphia that grew in and claimed himself to be God. Remember Father Divine?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had a following. Oh boy, people followed him, believed he was God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. So there are lots of false Christ. In fact, the matter is, the signs and wonders, the charismatics, so they're false, they're fake. As it says, Satan is able to be a wonder worker, but it's a false sign, a false wonder. And in fact, that's another thing, the Gnostics, in Alexandria, Egypt, that believed, and they're the source of our Vatican Sinai manuscripts. They're also the headquarters in Alexandria, Egypt. But one of the things in their theology is, they believe in signs and wonders. The exact same thing that we have today in these charismatics and so on. It's a horrible thing. But what did the Lord Jesus say about Israel as far as signs? When he was on earth.
Seek for signs.
See, they're right. The signs and miracles. What did the Lord Jesus use the miracles for in his day? In addition to healing the people.
Show
he was the Son of God. Show he was miraculous. What did the people say when he healed a man on the Sabbath day? What did they say to him?
He said, wow. Surely this is
the Sabbath. He shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. And what did they say when he said, thy sins be forgiven thee? What did the Pharisees say to him?
Holy God.
Was he God?
Yes.
First of God the Son. Son of God, perfect God as well as perfect man. And so whether it's easier for me to say, thy sins forgive thee, or just heal thee, rise up and walk. And so he healed them to show that the sins were also forgiven because he was deity. He was God. So the signs that he had were proper signs, proper miracles. Did the apostles have miracles and signs? Yes. So these were in the apostolic days before the Bible was completed. These were proper signs and signals to show the true word of God and the true beliefs. So then signs and wonders, if it were possible, they shall do what? These signs and wonders.
See
the reality. Again, I think the reality means those that are saved, those that are born again, whether the Jews in that pre-tribulation period that were saved. How are the Jews going to be saved, by the way, in the tribulation period?
They're going to minister to 144,000.
144,000 Jewish evangelists, that God will touch their hearts and form them into Christian believers. They will evangelize. 12,000 reach the 12 tribes. And so there'll be many Jews born again and saved during that tribulation period. And possible to deceive. But are people being deceived today?
Yes.
Yes, but a lot of things. Not only religiously, but governmentally and everything else. So it reminds me, remember the big trucks, hundreds and hundreds of trucks around D.C. Last 11th, 12th, and 13th this last week. And yet not a word on any of our media. Not a word. If you didn't have special things. So that's a deception, isn't it? Lots of things. There are a lot of things happening right now all over the country we don't hear about it because the media doesn't want to talk about it. So same way spiritually, many things will be spread abroad, and if it were possible to deceive the railway. Then, did we read 25? Verse 25? We read that, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. What did the Lord Jesus say here, and why do you think he said that? Remember, who's he talking to in chapter 24? The disciples. He left the multitudes away, the special disciples only. And what did he say in verse 25? Why do you think he said that?
He's reminding them.
Emphasis.
Emphasis. I told you before. And whenever he says, does it always happen? Whenever the Lord Jesus said, yes. He's always accurate in what he predicts. I told you before. Do all the Christian people that are in Christian churches of different types always believe what the Lord Jesus says?
No.
No, they do not. Should they?
Yes.
Yes, we should believe what he says, absolutely.
I think in many cases, they don't know what he said.
Yeah, that's true. Don't read the scriptures, they don't know what he said, and they don't seem to care either. But I told you before, Jesus said, we read 24, 25, did we read 26, I guess?
We did read 26.
Okay, so therefore, what do some of the people going to say now about the coming of Christ in these days of tribulation 26?
He's in the desert.
In the desert, see? Now, where did John the Baptist minister?
Desert.
In the desert, over across to the east of Jordan. And all these there, maybe, what are they supposed to do if people say, well, there is Christ over in the desert place? I don't know what.
Stay where they are.
Don't go out there. What about the secret chambers? A hiding place somewhere in Palestine. What are they supposed to say then?
Don't believe that
either. There's false and fake people. Yeah, Bill.
There's a lot of people on television right now are promoting these Jewish prayer cloths, which you pull it up over your head. And these are Christian preachers. They're not Jews. They're saying use these prayer cloths. That's a secret place.
Yeah. That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, very strange.
Believe it or not. All right, in verse 27, let's read 27, 28, and 29 today. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever the carcass is, there will be people gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, then, verse 27. What about lightning? What does it mean, shining out of the east and even up to the west?
Goes fast.
Lightning very fast, and it goes all over the earth as it is. And what is it, Anna?
It's about lighting the whole sky.
And it's up the whole sky. And then, so shall what be?
Coming of the Son of Man.
What do you think that means? Compared to lightning.
It'll be in the sky, it'll be fast.
It'll be bright and dazzling, won't it? The coming in glory. Well, yes, Anna.
Well, it's like it says in Thessalonians, it's
talking
about the brightness
of his coming. Mm-hmm. That's true. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So this is the signs of his coming, and the Son of Man looks like lightning. It'll be an amazing thing. It'll be like a miraculous thing from God. And it will come after the tribulation is over, and that's where it is. Then in verse 28, where the carcass is. What is a carcass?
A dead something.
Something that's dead. Now, some people talk about people sitting down in chairs, and they say what?
Park your carcass.
I'm the only one that remembers that. Park your carcass. You ever heard that expression? Park your carcass. You remember that at all? Or not?
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Park
his carcass.
Yeah. You remember that? Oh, okay.
Do you know that?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm trying to find. So anyway, be that as me. The dead carcass. And now, there will the eagles be gathered again. What do eagles do with carcasses?
They devour them.
They devour them. Now, some people say the regular eagles don't eat decaying flesh, but there's all kinds of different eagles. I looked this up one time, and there's some eagles that will eat flesh. See, the people were talking about this, and of course the Greek term is a very clear term, and these ones are going to be eating dead flesh. Why will there be dead flesh in the tribulation? Have you heard it?
Well, heard it somewhere that today there's a proliferation of this type of eagle being born, and they're just much more than in years past today. And I think this refers, of course, to the Battle of Armageddon.
Yes.
Where, I don't know the exact shape, but anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands will be slain, and the eagles are there, and eating up the flesh, and the burials, and so it's going to be a terrific thing. Ezekiel talks about that, doesn't he? Ezekiel talks about the burying people that bury the dead people. So the eagles gathered together. Then in verse 29, did we read 29?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I can't remember which one to read. Right. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, what's going to happen?
The sun will be dark.
What does that mean? The sun will be darkened.
It might mean that there's a lot of eagles flying around.
That's true.
The sun.
What do we call that when the sun is darkened?
Eclipse.
Eclipse of the sun, all right? We have eclipses of the moon, but eclipse of the sun. What happened at Calvary?
It seems like it's going to last longer than that.
Longer than that? That's true.
It's not just going to be a 5 or 10 minute eclipse.
It's going to be darkness at noonday. What happened at the crucifixion?
It's dark, the darkness. 3 hours.
3 hours. From when to when?
From 12 to 3.
12 to 3. That's right. The 6th hour, which would be 12, and the 9th hour, which would be 3. Darkness. The sun was blown out. And so it would be similar to the dark, and the moon should not give her light. The stars, what's going to happen to the stars?
Sun, because the sun will be dark, the moon will have any light.
The moon will not have light, which is reflected light, isn't it? No. What's going to happen to the stars?
Mm-hmm.
How many stars are there in heaven?
Millions.
Millions and millions. In fact, there are millions in our light, our galaxy, and there are thousands of other galaxies. So there's millions of them. Stars will fall. What happens when stars fall from heaven?
They make a big display.
What will be happening on the Earth if stars would fall from this Earth?
It would destroy the Earth.
Very destructive. There's a lot of things to fall.
But
if it hits this Earth,
it's bigger.
What is that?
Each star is thousands of times bigger than the Earth.
Yes.
Most likely that's going to be meteors.
Even if it's meteors or parts of stars, still, a meteor that hits the Earth, it's a very severe thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the stars will fall from Earth, and the heavens will be shaken. Now, I was talking to my son Dick, who's a pastor there in Maryland. I was not talking, my wife was, but he was talking to his mother, and my wife told me that Dick was talking about heaven. Some people don't believe that heaven's going to be eclipsed and fall away. And remember, heaven and earth shall pass away. A lot of people, he reads a lot of books, but the scriptures are very clear. See, a lot of these unbelievers don't believe it. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And it will one day be shaken. We have a new heavens and a new earth, and so the heavens shall be shaken. And what is in the heavens? How many heavens do we have in
space? Three heavens.
Three heavens. What's the first one?
It's the atmosphere.
Atmospheric heaven. The second one?
It's outer space.
The starry heaven. And the third heaven?
That's where the abode of God is.
The abode of God himself. Be shaken. Now, we read 30, do we? Are we ready?
No, we didn't read 30.
Read 30, 31, 32 together. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, or put it forth leaves, you know the summer is coming. All right, verse 30. After the heaven shaking, after the earth, the sun will be dark and the earth not give it light. What's going to happen in verse 30?
The sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
A sign and appearance of the Son of Man. And so this will be, and what will happen to the tribes of the earth, the Jewish saved people and others that are perhaps saved? What's going to happen there? In verse 20, verse 30.
We'll see the Son of Man in heaven.
And first, before that.
The earth is
going to
mourn the tribes.
They're going to mourn because they see this. And then they'll see the Son of Man coming. Because, how is he going to come? What is this type of coming? What adjectives are used here talking about his coming in verse 30?
Clouds of heaven.
Clouds of heaven. What else?
Power and great glory.
And the rapture, will anybody accept the saved see the Lord Jesus? Will anybody but the Lord, the saved people see him?
Just
be quiet. We're just caught up. Will he be on the earth in the rapture?
No.
Where will he come?
In the clouds.
In the clouds. Yeah, Dick had something.
Yeah, well, I think that coming in great glory is described in Revelation 19. And he was clothed with his vesture dipped in blood. He was naked. The word of God, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. And he should rule them with a rod of iron, treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes, so becoming with power and great glory. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Say hello if you'd like to. Any more, Dan?
Yeah, we have one here that's coming.
Okay.
And then we have to give it for.
All right.
For you. And Anne's going to read it.
Okay, Anne.
Dear Pastor Wade, hello to everyone tonight. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. It's good to see Mr. Carroll back from Joe and Norma Fascio in California.
Yes, that's way to Joe and Norma. Thank you, Joe and Norma. Appreciate your call to us and your email. Anything else, Anne?
I'm checking.
Okay. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. All right, it's angels. So notice in verse 31, who's he going to send with the angels? By the way, who are his angels? What does that mean?
The good angels.
What are the other angels called?
Fallen angels,
evil angels. Just a few angels. How many angels are in the Lord's good and bad? How many angels are there? Thousands upon thousands, about 10,000. And God, myriads of angels. That's right, myriads of angels. And in fact, the Lord Jesus, before in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, could I not send the Father who would give me how many angels?
Twelve legions.
And legions, probably 1,000 legions, and how many more than 1,000? 12,000 angels at his command, at his beck. But did he pray that? Did he ask the Father to get the 12,000?
No.
It's nonetheless not my will, but thine be done. And the cup that the Father gave me, shall I not drink it, is what he said. So the angels shall come with what type of a sound?
Trumpet.
That's similar to the rapture, is it not? Not the same. This is a different part. This is 7 years later. But what does it say about the trumpet as far as the rapture? The last trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15. What else? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16.
Then in Christ shall
rise first. And we shall have our remains to be clothed together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The trumpets are sound. The Lord shall be the sound of the archangel, the trumpet of God. So here's the trumpet. What did the Jews use the trumpets for in the Old Testament?
Assembly.
Assembly was one thing.
War.
That's right. And maybe feast days, so a different thing. So the sound of the trumpet. So what will the angels do to this great sound of the trumpet?
Gather the elect.
Again, I believe it's easy to save people, the elect in that sense. Not the people with the Presbyterians and others think about the elect, but those are saved from the four winds. What does it mean, the four winds?
From all over the earth.
All over. North, south, east, and west. Four winds, one end of heaven to the other. Gather them together at that time. We read 32, did we not?
Yes.
I want to ask a question.
Yeah, fine.
So, the angels will get all the Christian, are these Christian people? Or is this during the tribulation?
Tribulation of saints.
And they'll all come, they're gathered together from every place. Where are they going to be gathered?
Well, I guess
all over the earth. But where are they coming to?
Probably, maybe to Jerusalem, because the Lord Jesus is going to come back and reign from Jerusalem. Could be there. Doesn't say it here.
All the elect, all the Christians.
All the saints.
Are they Christians?
The tribulation period of saints. They'd be the elect, the saved people, the Jews that are converted, probably. Saints. Others that the Jews led to Christ as evangelists. Well, yes, Tammy?
What's the significance of the next phrase, from one end of heaven to the other?
Well, probably from, I suppose, the meaning of the earth. There's talk about one end of heaven to the other, but probably means...
This is referencing the saints that are coming with Christ when he comes to the battle of Armageddon, isn't it?
Well, it could be a reference, eh?
And no, that's just a way of saying wherever they are on the planet Earth, they'll be gathered together.
I think that's what it means. One end of heaven, in other words, all over. Talk about the earth, north, south, east, and west, the four corners of the earth, and in that sense. But you're right, in time, it could refer to the time when the Lord Jesus will come back and from one end of heaven.
He's coming back in verse 30.
Yes.
So.
And the saints will be with him. It says that, it doesn't it, in Revelation 19, that he's on the white horse, others will be with him on horses, and we will be saved, born again Christians. Someone asked me this last week about Christians at the judgment seat of Christ, and also the great white throne. It says very clearly, the great white throne, where the lost are judged, we will be there witnessing that. In fact, it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, the saints shall judge the earth. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6, and if the saints shall judge the earth, why do you call in the world to solve problems in your local churches? So, yes, the four winds, one heaven, the other. Then we read 32, did we not? Learn a parable. What is a parable?
Heavenly story with a heavenly meaning.
Of the fig tree. We read that just the other day in our Bible reading about the fig tree. When the Lord Jesus came to the fig tree, he said he was hungry. And again, the Gospel of Mark. What did he find with that fig tree when he came?
Just leaves.
Nothing but leaves. It's an interesting gospel song, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Nothing but leaves for the Master. And when for fruity but leaves, where we find nothing but leaves. So it's interesting. So you learn a parable, the fig tree. What about the branch is tender, put it forth leaves? No, the summer is not. What is he talking about in this fig tree parable? I'm not a farmer, don't know about fig trees, but according to this, what happens to fig trees?
Well, this is us saying that there be signs, I mean, like we see today. For example, the nation of Israel coming again, being a nation, after all these many years of being dispersed. That's one of the signs.
Yes.
And it's not the beginning of the tribulation, but you can see everything getting in place for these things to happen that have been prophesied by Daniel chapter 9 and so forth.
Yes. So apparently the fig tree, you're saying right here, the development of the fig tree, first you see a branch, and you see it's tender, and then you see if leaves come upon it. When the leaves come on there, then you know that summer is very close to happen. Yes, Tammy, and then Vonnie. Tammy, then Vonnie.
I know, but my husband hasn't seen it.
Oh, yes, I didn't see it, Dan. Go ahead, Dan. Speak.
I don't know if it came to say.
No, go ahead.
I think it's talking about a precipitation or something, a sign for the second coming of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
As far as like we look at a fig tree, look at any type of tree, look at any type of thing we plant in the ground. If we know much about the plants, we know that they have certain characteristics prior to yielding their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so prior to the yielding of the return of Christ, there's certain signs and elements are going to be happening mm-hmm. on this earth during this tribulation time period, during the second half of the tribulation time period.
Yes.
They're going to be pointing to the Lord's second coming.
It's like the sign of a tree. We have a tree out here in our yard that it's a walnut, is it?
Chestnut.
Now, the sign that winter is coming is what? Because of what's happening. The chestnuts have fallen off, and now the leaves have fallen off. And we know that the winter is not. So the same way here, it's a picture, it's a fair figure. So trees sometimes give us signs of what's going to happen. Yeah, Vonnie. Well, excuse me, Tammy next.
All I was going to say was, you know, in the spring, we see the trees with their blossoms, and mm-hmm. we have the leaves that come out, little leaves, and they grow, and then when they get big, then we know that summer's close by.
I vaguely remember something about fig trees. I think that the fruit comes before the leaves. Now, I may be wrong, but I vaguely remember this. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know?
We went to Israel and told us about fig trees, but it's been a number of years, 1980s.
But, you know, so the fruit's there, and then the leaves is opposite the other trees.
That's interesting.
Maybe somebody could call us and tell us.
Somebody want to call us and tell us? 856-261-9018. Or give us an email on it. So parable, then let's read 33, 34, and 35 together. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, nor will they be near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Right, verse 33. So likewise, here's a parable of what's going to happen when you see all these things. What things is he referring to here?
These things we just discussed.
Just discussed. The sign of the Son of Man, the angels gathering, the sound of the trumpet, the heavens, earth, the sun darkened, the
stars
moon,
falling.
Stars falling. then you know that it is near. What is the it?
The coming of Christ.
The coming of Lord Jesus Christ with great power and great glory. Power and great glory. To set his feet upon the earth and to reign and rule for 1,000 years out of Jerusalem. Okay, so even at the door, so does that mean?
Ready to come in.
Ready to come in. Close. Very, very close. Now, are there signs for the rapture as such? No, it can be imminent at any time. But are there signs for the second coming in power and glory? Second phase is coming. Yes, there are signs, aren't there, for that. So if 7 years splits it, the difference, you know, that you can see a little bit of things 7 years later. So we can't set any signs for the rapture of the church, but the coming in power and glory, we can. Then in verse 34, again, we mentioned that earlier. What does it mean? This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
These people?
These people, that's the thing. See, it's not that it's going to come while the apostles, the disciples, are still living, but this genos, this generation, this people, the Jewish people, as they mentioned, there's a prophecy of the Jews will always be a nation. The Muslims, do they want Jews always to be a nation?
No.
No. They want to drive them into the sea, want to kill them and slaughter them as they want to slaughter Christians. But this generation, this genus, this people, these Jewish people will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So that's a promise the Lord has for us. Then verse 35 is a very important, powerful verse. What does it say about heaven and earth? Do people believe that today?
Yeah.
Normally they don't believe that's going to pass away. What does terra firma mean?
Firm
earth. That means it's firm and it's not going to be changed. But this, who's saying this, by the way? The Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven shall pass away. That's something that's guaranteed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It says that in the book of Scripture, doesn't it? And it's going to pass away. The present one says in 2 Peter, the earth's going to be burned up. Remember? Burned up, and all the things burned up. So it's going to be completely renovated. Different type of an earth. But, why is that word but there in verse 35?
Contrast.
Conjunction of contrast. What's the contrast?
Flip side.
Heaven and earth are going to pass away. What's going to stay?
God's
words. My words. Remember we said the strongest negative in the Greek language. Ume shall never, never, never pass away. That word for not. And so this is called Bible preservation, isn't it? Who wrote the words? Who's the author of the words of the New Testament? Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, many things I have to say to you, you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of or from himself as of a source. Whatsoever you shall hear, actually speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Lord Jesus tells the Holy Spirit, told him what's to be written down in the New Testament. And by contrast and by similarity, the Old Testament, he's the Logos, the Word, the Revelator. We believe he gave the words to the prophets, the Old Testament prophets and writers. The Old Testament, those are all of his words. And that's why I believe very strongly, if you believe what the Lord Jesus said here in this verse, is it ever repeated in any other place in Scripture, these words?
Yes.
It is? Where? How many times?
Several.
How many exactly?
Three times,
that's right. Three times, this very verse repeated. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's repeated three times, what does that tell us?
It's important.
Very important.
No, remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
John doesn't. But these very words, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, very important. Verily, verily. See, he repeats it twice. Something is repeated, it means an emphatic emphasis, and my words, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words shall never, never, never pass away. It's Bible preservation. And I just wish that all the saints, Bible-believing Christians, would believe in the preservation of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, as our church teaches and preaches, I believe very firmly, for many years. In fact, a man called me today, and he said, what about some of these things? And why are all these people so confused about all the different versions? I mean, Bible-believing university like Bob Jones and other places, he's a graduate of this college, and he doesn't agree with their false Greek text, but why do they continue? I said, they've been sold a bill of goods. And I used the expression that is used in Peter, I believe, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, or Jude. They're willingly ignorant of the fact. There's much truth that's out there that tells them that these changes, 8,000 differences from their Greek text to the Greek text of King James, 8,000, it's written, it's in the books, and other 8,356 are doctrinal areas. And if fundamental Bible believers really believe in doctrine, strong doctrine, they shouldn't accept these false doctrines that are in there from the Gnostics. Well, never pass away. We're going to stop right here, but if you have any other questions or comments you'd like to make for tonight before we close.
I have a couple.
Yes.
And that's about the Bible study.
That's, oh, yes. Go ahead.
But we have Friday we have our theology class, or whatever it's called.
That's right.
What's it called?
3 to 4:30.
What is it? It's being called. Okay.
Theology class from 3 to 4:30. That's tomorrow.
Friday. And the people out there in Never Land, they can click on it.
They can click on it, BibleToday.org. They can listen to it from 3 to 4:30 Eastern Time. And then on Tuesday, what about Tuesday?
Tuesday, it comes after Monday.
That's true.
Tuesday is Genesis.
All right, what time is that?
I don't know that. 4:30
to 5:30, roughly. Okay. So Tuesday and Thursday. Any other?
It's nice because the people that have duties of the day, they can come at 4:30.
Come at night. Okay. Any other comments or questions?
I have another thing.
Oh, go ahead.
We wish a happy birthday to you, our Christian friend, Daniel. And may our Heavenly Father, His kindest blessings send. A happy, happy birthday, all beautiful with love and bright with many blessings from God, our friend above.
And happy returns on the day of their birth, and sunshine and gladness given. May our dear Father prepare thee on earth for a wonderful birthday ahead. Tomorrow, right, Dan? 18th.
That's right.
How many years do you have?
I just got messed up with the government shutdown.
We've been here how many years?
We've been here 48 years.
48 years. And Dan, you're 48 too? Been here as long as we have. It's amazing. He left, he went to school, we went to Iowa and stayed there for a while, worked well, and he came back.
Found
and said,
Tammy.
And Tammy, found Tammy, went, that's a very good person we found, and he got a wonderful wife. And he said, Dad, I'll give you, was it 5 years?
Yes, 5 years.
I'll give you 5 years to help. Now, just think, how many years has it been, Dad?
One more than five.
One more than five. Anna's now 20, and Anna was... You know, maybe 1 year old when you came. So it's 18 or 19 years.
It's almost 20.
Almost 20. So praise the Lord for that. So thank you for those announcements. Right? Any other comments or questions?
It'll be 20 in January.
We came
here.
That's good. 20 years. Well, Dan's been an excellent help to us. And we wouldn't have this internet.
Not the anniversary. How long have we been here?
Did you come in January?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Good.
All right, let's close then with a word of prayer if we can. Our Father, we thank you for thy grace. We thank you that we can talk about thy words. Thank you, Lord, that Matthew was written to us, and we can talk about the tribulation period. We can talk about the glorious appearing the Lord Jesus to set up his millennial reign. We thank you that before that tribulation, take the saved people out of this wicked world and give them a home in heaven before this terrible, terrible tribulation is upon this earth. So guide us, make us strong for thee. May we live for thee to please our Savior. Bring us back safely on the Lord's day, and may it be a blessing to us. And it's direct us in all that we do and all that we say in the interim, today and tonight and tomorrow. And may our Savior be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.